from the South Side and Cork and Kerry at the Park. This is our celebration of the Red Line series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
Oh, yeah, it's starting to heat up here.
Yes, it is, Wendy. Yes, it is.
And I'm not talking about the 312 beer, Goose Island beer I'm drinking.
Right.
I'm only having one.
I didn't say anything.
All right.
A lot of the people in the room did, but not me.
Cork and Kerry at the Park, the place to go before and after the game. During the game, as Bill mentioned, it's sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company.
Ed Farmer joins us, Wendy. Last time we were here at Cork and Kerry, you and I had the pleasure of meeting Ed Farmer for the first time, and when we found out we were coming back, that's the first thing we said. Can we get Ed Farmer back? Here he is. Hi, Ed.
I've actually met him that prior.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't my first time. Well, I know you remember your first. You always remember your first, Ed, but, you know, I've met you a long time ago.
Yes, you have. We won't even go into that, will we, Wendy?
No, we will not.
One weekend in Wisconsin, what does that mean? Come on. That's fine.
Oh,
how are you, Ed?
Just a little tired. I'm sure as Jason told you, we got in. I laid down about 3:30 this morning.
Jeez. Long game, but a good payoff.
Yeah, you know, I told the guys when we got on the charter to come back to Chicago, I said, it's okay if we win in 9. You don't have to go to 11. Just play 9.
What do you think the key was? You know, every attempt to beat Cleveland in their home stadium went poorly, but in last night we finally found a way to win. Why was it so difficult to beat them at home there?
Well, they don't. We didn't quit either, but they've got a solid ball club top and bottom. They know how to play. I mean, the kid from Glenbrook North, Jason Kipnis,
yeah,
hit a ball out two nights ago, and he was locked and loaded. I've been there before at 20 years age in the big leagues, and I knew what was going on with Ian Hamilton. I knew what was going on. I just knew it. You know, he's throwing a 3-2 pitch. Jason's a great hitter. He's an all-star second baseman. He's playing center field, and, you know, he's getting the fastball, and he didn't miss it for a slam. And if you guys were listening, as soon as he hit it, I said, 4-1 Cleveland wins, and I stopped talking for a minute. I didn't have to talk anymore. The crowd did the rest of it.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to young ball clubs. That's what you get. We're learning. I mean, I think our two best players, not knocking the other guys, but Mancada's second base, he's a special guy. And you put Tim Anderson in shortstop with Kenny Williams and also Rick Hahn. They've done a nice job.
All right, so we mentioned with Jason Benetti earlier, our hearts are broken about Michael Kopech. I would have loved to see him start today, Sox versus Cubs. I'm not giving them first choice for anything. Is he going to be sitting there? What's the deal? I just feel so bad for him.
You know, I think everyone does. Most of the people, that Giolito's one of them. He came back from this. He'll come back from it. Probably be a year away at least. But the surgery is done. It's almost, some people, Wendy, actually have their son get Tommy John surgery before they hurt their arm so they don't have to go through it. Jay Spice has done twice in our bullpen, and he's throwing, I mean, he's lights out. So Kopech will come back. And, you know, when we talked at the court before and opening day, we talked about the 13 or 12 players we got in these trades, for Sale going to Boston and even going to the Washington Nationals. If you get 5 of those guys to the big leagues, that's half your team on the field. You're doing really well. We lost Berger early with an Achilles tendon tear. Now we lose Kopech. 2 of our strong guys, but they fit the bill to come back. And they're going to come back, not going to be this year or next year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years away.
Ed, one of the guys the White Sox traded away last year was Jose Quintana. So today he pitches for the Cubs against his old team, the White Sox. What's going on in a player's head, especially a pitcher, when they're facing their old friends and team members?
Bill, that's a great question, because sometimes you're going to show them they made a mistake, that they made a mistake trading you, and you find in time it's part of the game and you accept that. So you don't have to show anybody. He's a great guy, Quintana, and he's got great stuff. He's an asset for that ball club on and off the field. We're going to try and beat him today. Make no mistake about it. I won't talk to him today. I'll talk to him tomorrow, along with a couple guys over there with the Cubs. But he's a great person and also a very, very good pitcher.
Well, that's like getting a fresh haircut and losing weight before you run into an old boyfriend or girlfriend.
What a great analogy. Yes, it is. Yeah.
I don't know about that old boyfriend girlfriend. Yeah, sure.
Ed, I've had to explain to people that aren't huge baseball fans why a team would trade away if you've got somebody like Chris Sale, one of the premier pitchers in baseball, or Jose Quintana, or your other A-list players. Why would you trade them away for young prospects? For people who don't know this, it seems basic, but explain the reason.
Put Frazier in there also, Todd Frazier, who
sure.
About 10 days ago in the stands, and it was a fake baseball. The kid had it, took it out of his gloves when they went into the stands, took the rubber baseball out, showed it to the umpire, called the batter out, and he threw the ball back to the kid. By that, the play's over. It was not a regular baseball.
That was genius.
Hey, you give them a chance to win, Bill, Wendy. You give them a chance to win. You're not going to do it. You want to go younger, then they have to be the first ones to go. They're going to bring you talent maybe you don't have in your organization, or it's in the low minors. You're going to get something for something doing that. And, I mean, I always say this. It's not the guy you get before the trading deadline in August. The guy you can get after it that helps you win that one game or two games that puts you into the playoffs, and you don't know what's going to happen once you get in. So you give those guys like Sale a chance to win with the Boston Red Sox, go to the World Series. You do the same for the other guys. And that's what you think of those players, with Quintana the same way. You're giving him a chance to go to the playoffs in the World Series. I think that's high praise from Jerry Reinsdorf and also the people we have working in the front office for the White Sox.
2005 was a very good year for the Chicago White Sox, and there were a group of guys that had a ton of personality, had fun. I'm seeing that happen again.
The one guy on the team that is very quiet, well, there's two of them. You got Abreu, who's now hurt and had a virus or an infection. He got that straightened up. He probably won't play, but the kids look up to him, especially the kids from Latin America. They look up to him. On the other side is James Shields with the pitchers. He tells them exactly what we're doing. They'll say something like, okay, we're not doing that again, all right? And that may be stuff that's in the clubhouse or on the bench. So they basically help your manager, and you need those guys. You're going to have one or two bad guys on the team. It's up to them. Not that it's their job, but they'll go to that person and tell them what's right or wrong. We got Carl Everett left the last guy we got, I think, with the team. And Everett took control of everybody. He also made us laugh, or made them laugh on the bench. We're in New York at Yankee Stadium, and they brought in Betances, who throws, I don't know, 130. And he tells the bat boy, Ozzie goes, Carl, get a bat, let's go. You're pitch batting. So he tells the kid out loud in the dugout, go up to my locker and get me the 36-ounce bat. That's like swinging a telephone pole. So they start laughing. Hits the second pitch for a home run in the right field seat. I mean, come on. You couldn't write this stuff and it'd be true.
Ed, I know you've been around baseball for a good long time. You've seen a lot of players come and go. Give me one or two names of guys playing baseball today that amaze you, that you just see on the field and you go, I don't know how that guy does it.
Well, I look at Chris Bryant that way with the Cubs, and I know he's struggling a bit now, but I looked at him. He's a sensational player. I'm going with who we're playing today. But I look at the tandem up the middle for us, and I'm telling you something. With Tim Anderson at shortstop, he's progressing in front of us at a meteoric pace to show you that he's going to be a shortstop. The kid at second base is very special with Moncada. I call Manos de Oro in Spanish, which means hands of gold, because nobody since I've seen Robbie Alomar has made that impression on me. I saw Alomar when he was 7 years old do the same stuff with the glove and the ball in his hand.
That's impressive.
All right, now Adam Engel has made some spectacular catches. One point, I believe he threw his mitt even up to try and catch it. Do we expect that from him all the time? Because I feel like there's unneeded pressure on him.
Well, we're hoping that he doesn't throw the mitt much, because that's not really allowed.
Right.
And Wendy, I'm not going to try and correct you too much, but there's two mitts in the game. One's at first and one's catching. The rest, you can call him whatever you want. But yeah,
gloves.
He went up and over the fence. What happened was he tried to get it and put the glove all the way into his fingers, and when he hit the wall, it fell off.
Yeah.
So he's an inspirational guy in center, because if it's in the park, usually he's going to run it down and catch it. He made a sensational catch the other night in Cleveland, and it didn't surprise me one bit. He closes on the ball. He's a very, very solid defender.
All right, now how many games in the whole season? 162?
162. 162.
All right, and we've lost how many thus far? Because I have a couple of goals for the White Sox. One is not to lose 100 games, and the other one is to sweep the Cubs today.
Well,
is it possible?
Both goals are possible. I think we have 60 wins. I think we crossed that threshold this morning. I think we won for the 60th time. So you've got to win three more games to beat that. You know, but you know, when you look at the team, you're not looking at wins and losses. I'm not anyway, Wendy. I'm looking at how they're progressing, if they're learning stuff. It's almost like children that you have at home. When they're first born, you start telling them stuff when they can recognize things, and you tell them over and over again. And then you're telling your son or your daughter, don't forget to take your lunch to school now. And you have to tell them every day until they say, Mom or Dad, I'm hungry. Can you make me lunch, will you? That's where we're at. It's lunchtime sometimes for us. Because the kids forget. They space out a little bit. Their mind wanders. And you see it all the time from young guys. The other guys, their mind doesn't wander. They're on the ball. And that's what you find from a veteran club. But, yeah, it's a thing that it's really special when you start to see them get it. And some guys are getting it real early.
Ed, if you could change one rule in baseball, any rule you want, what rule would you change?
Limit the numbers of walks to the replacing pitchers. Limit the number of walks that they have to the mound, at which we have a limit on now. But we change pitchers on every batter.
Yeah.
I would limit the bullpen to six guys or five guys. That'd be about it.
All right. That's easy enough.
If they're not, then you're going to have to train them a lot differently. For me, running was the thing. We ran all the time. I mean, I threw 159 pitches one night in a ball game and pitched nine innings and threw 4 days later and made my regular turn. And that wasn't abstract. That was the usual for a starter. You go 7, 8, or 9. And if you went 5 innings, you were called a 5-and-fly guy, which wasn't really a compliment at all.
Right.
When we spoke to Jason Benetti earlier, you know, the great tag teams, the great duos in the booth, you have Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, and of course, Ed Farmer and DJ. I mentioned to Jason he should stop singing, and I was kind of kidding, but DJ, I caught him singing Blue Bayou. It wasn't that great.
I wasn't listening, Wendy, to what he was singing, to tell you. He starts
good
singing,
move.
And I go, what, is someone calling me? What's going on here? And I'd like to listen to this. But, yeah, that goes on behind the scenes. And he starts singing. I mean, he's my closest friend outside my family. I love the guy, and we have a great time up there. And we're going to go to a different tangent if we're not playing well, because we still have to entertain the listeners, and I hope they like it.
Oh, it works.
You do a great job.
It always works. Ed, explain this to me, because I watch a lot of baseball. I don't understand this. So many players now get the shift. You know, the infield shifts over, depending on where that player usually hits. Why can't a guy, once he sees the shift, say to themselves, I'm going to learn to be a really good bunter, and I'm just going to keep bunting singles until they stop shifting on me? Why doesn't that happen?
Well, with sabermetrics, I'm sure that works into it somewhere, but you're not looking at launch angle or spin rate on a bunt. You want to know, and Yomar Sanchez put one down last night. It was great. Just came out there and bunted it. It's a lost art because you're not going to make the newspaper with a bunt single in the seventh or eighth inning just to get on board. They'll talk about how you scored the run, and it may be a byline in that paragraph that says, oh, by the way, Ed Farmer laid down a bunt.
Yeah.
So they're not going to do that. And we put the emphasis on you can strike out now, you can walk, but if you hit home runs, you play big ball, you're going to win a lot of games. That's not the way I think. I'll take sabermetrics somewhat. I want to know who the guy is that's got the biggest heart. I'm going to have him lead us to the promised land, get us to the playoffs. That's
sure.
A big thing. Does he have that burning desire and the will to win? If he does, we can do great things.
You are a beautiful dude, Ed Farmer. You know that?
I don't know about that, Wendy. I know one thing. I looked in the mirror this morning. I was so tired. The tongues of my shoes when I put them on, they're hanging out now. That's how tired.
Wow. Do you want to retract your statement, Wendy, or you stand by it?
No, I'm standing by it.
Wendy stands by it, Ed.
Good, Wendy. By the way, take off those glasses. Keep looking at me.
All right. Well, I'm predicting the White Sox will win today. That's my prediction.
How about you guys coming to the booth before the season's over? How's that?
That would be fun. You'd let us in, Ed?
Well, I'll have some restrictions. I mean,
all right, we can try for that. That would be fun. I can't wait.
Please.
I can't wait to see you again. It's been a fun season. It really has. I understand it. No team wants to lose 90 games. I understand, but the basis is there. You can see where this team is heading. You see it as well, don't you?
Bill, remember this: We don't remember who finished second or third last year.
Right.
We remember the teams that went to the World Series
right.
and won. We remember 2 years ago when the Cubs won. I mean, it was a great day for the north side of Chicago and the Cubs fans. 2005, it goes by so fast, a blink in the eye, the microcosm of your life. Because when you go to the ballpark, we take you away from that for 2, 3, well, 4 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
And we have you lose yourself and entertain you with the damn baseball. It's a great gift that the players give to the fans as well as the fans giving to the players. But when you look at it, it goes by quick and the season's almost over.
All right, well, let's go, 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 White Sox. Ed Farmer, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll be listening and watching the game today. One final question. When did it turn from the Crosstown Classic to the Red Line Series?
When it started to be for real.
That's right. When.
I'll take it.
When it started to be for real, when we're playing the Cubs, and it meant something. Absolutely.
Yep.
I expect a great game from both teams, and I hope we're a White Sox winner this afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And have a good call, Ed. Great to talk to you.
Hours. Thanks so much for having me.
Big fan. Ed Farmer, ladies and gentlemen.
The great Ed Farmer.
The great Ed Farmer. You can hear him on WGN Radio with Darren Jackson.